Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Research at the National Archives and Beyond Blog Talk Radio. This is your host, Bernice Alexander Bennett. I want to welcome our callers and chatters to Research at the National Archives and Beyond. This show will provide individuals interested in genealogy an opportunity to listen, learn, and take action. You can join me every Thursday at 9 p.m. Eastern Time, where I will have an expert who will share resources, stories, and answer your burning genealogy questions. All of my guests share a deep passion and knowledge of genealogy and history. If you have logged in as a guest and wish to participate in the chat, you can sign in through your Facebook account or through Blog Talk Radio. I will also open the lines in the second half of the show so that you can ask questions of the guests. Well, it was about 3 years ago that one of my colleagues encouraged me to gather old photos to share with a film producer by the name of Thomas Allen Harris for a program called the Digital Diaspora Family Reunion. Well, I put my pictures in a bag and called and made my appointment and showed up at the Silver Docks in downtown Silver Spring, and I met this really energetic and engaging man who was just willing to listen to the stories that I had to share. I also heard of his vision, and his vision is what we're going to hear about tonight. My guest will share and take us on his wonderful journey in film and photography and introduce you to a new kind of genealogy, the Digital Diaspora Family Reunion. Thomas Allen Harris is the founder and president of Chimpanzee Productions. This is a company dedicated to producing unique audiovisual experiences that illuminate the human condition and the search for identity, family, and spirituality. Chimpanzee Productions is currently in production on Through a Lens Darkly, Black Photographers and the Emergence of a People. This is a feature-length documentary and multimedia project that explores the role of photography in shaping the identity, aspirations, and social emergence of African Americans from slavery to the present. Its companion project is the Digital Diaspora Family Reunion. And I'll let my guest, Thomas Allen Harris, share with you exactly what that means. So let me give a warm welcome to Thomas Allen Harris to Research at the National Archives and Beyond. Thomas?
Hi, Bernice Bennett. How are you?
Oh, just fine, and I am so happy that you could take time out of your very, very busy schedule to call in tonight. Well, Thomas, why don't you please give us an idea of your background. Tell us more about you and what motivated you to get involved in film production.
Okay, I'd love to. First, I just want to thank you so much for having me on the show, and you know, when I created Digital Diaspora Family Reunion, I felt, I guess, in my heart that this project was going to unite people. And so here we are 3 years later, you know, part of the family, you know, who's doing this good work. that you're doing and that I'm doing. And so it's great to be here together and continuing the dialogue and our good work. I started making films a while back. Initially, I had actually gone to Harvard College, and I majored in biology, and I was on my way to medical school. And somewhere along the line, I realized I was an artist, and I also came from an activist family that was very, very committed and interested in both Pan-Africanism, the African diaspora, but also community, and the awareness that, you know, we are family even beyond the blood, you know, and family through the heart. And so I guess that's how, you know, I got into doing the kinds of films that I've done. Each of my films, Vintage Families of Value, which is a feature film that showed on the Free Speech TV, and then I made a film that's actually on PBS right now. It's on a series called Afropop, and it's called That's My Face, and the Portuguese title is A Minha Cara. And that was in 2001. And most recently, I made a film called, actually, it's not very recent, but in 2005, I finished a film called 12 Disciples of Nelson Mandela. And so with each of the films, I've actually, my family is a part of the film, both my you know, genetic family, but also my larger extended family. And I used the family archives. And when I started the film, I didn't realize I was going to have to go and find these archives and in my family. But each time I've had to, as I've traveled around the world, people say to me, well, I have these family archives. I want to do something interesting with my family archives. So that's how, you know, I've been working, and, you know, everything's been reinforcing this movement to create a project that celebrates and helps people work and use their family photograph in particular, but also family story to educate, to entertain, and to illuminate.
So when you began to think of this strategy, this new way of helping families come together and share, what strategies did you consider when exploring the whole concept of a digital diaspora family reunion?
Well, I guess before I answer, I have to answer that in a roundabout way. I started in 2007. I went to production on a film with Deborah Willis, who is the authority on Black photographers from 1840 to the present. And we're making a film called Through a Lens Darkly, Black Photographers and the Emergence of the People. And so with my background of using the family archive and then working with Deborah, who's coming from it from this perspective of the Black photographic archive, specifically looking at Black photographers, or primarily, I should say, and also looking at Black family photographic archives, I thought I wanted to do an outreach project that would find, in some ways, I wanted to find family archives. I also wanted to celebrate family archives. And I just knew that at the end of Through a Lens Darkly, that in order to, like, really take the film into families and allow for people to do something fun and interesting with all the great stuff that they see in the film, you know, when they get back home with their family photographs, that I'd have to create something, and I'd have to create it now. Because at the end of the film, each of my films, I've learned to do a big outreach project. At the end of the film, as an independent filmmaker, you're exhausted, you know, financially, emotionally. And the last thing you want to do is, I mean, you're kind of torn between either developing a new film, you know, pushing things forward, or going back and working with the outreach of the old film. And so there's always that tension. So I thought, well, I could do Digital Diaspora, which would help Through a Lens Darkly. It would also, you know, extend beyond Through a Lens Darkly, and also it would help, you know, the previous film, Twelve Disciples, Amy Akata, and other people who were working with the archive. And so so it started initially with me and my producer Ann Bennett going to BayVac, which is the Bay Area Video Coalition, in 2008, and developing a prototype for Digital Diaspora. And it's basically a web prototype. And we were then asked by several people, including one of our partners, the National Black Programming Consortium. And you should definitely check out their website. They do a lot of films. It's nbpc.tv, National Black Programming Consortium. And they invited me to do a presentation, me and Anne, to do a presentation on Digital Diaspora. And so we did it, and at that presentation at the News Museum in D.C., someone, Anna Ingram from the Silver Doc, and also another colleague from Integral Media Association asked us to, you know, if we'd be willing to come and present at their conferences, Silver Doc and the other conference. And so I thought, well, you know, so these, why not do something that really does outreach into the community and invite people to come in and bring their family photographs? And I wasn't even thinking of a roadshow at that point. I was thinking I wanted to really get to the community, because I you know, traveling with my film through a lot of different festivals, you know, and this is the case for a lot of African American filmmakers, who, you know, particularly documentary makers. Yeah, you know, we go to these festivals and we look into the audience, and there are very few African Americans, you know, in the audience, you know. And you know, and so, you know, so I thought, well, I want to, you know, is it the problem with the festivals? Why aren't they doing outreach? So I said, well, if I'm going to do Digital Diaspora at Silver Dots, for instance, I want to really reach out to the audience and build my own audience. In some ways, it's a kind of like the documentary version of what Tyler Perry does. You know, he has his own audience, and he brings them to the theater. So that's how Digital Diaspora started, and that's how, you know, you and I, you know, were fated to come together.
Okay, so that was the first Digital Diaspora family reunion at Silver Dock.
Yes, actually, the one I met you at was the second. The first one was in Atlanta in February 2009.
Okay. Very interesting. So your initial concept was to bring people in. You created your own audience, and you gave them the forum to then share their archived pictures.
Exactly. And I didn't know what people were going to bring. You know, I thought, you know, well, but I did know that I'm a storyteller. You know, God has given me this gift. And so I, you know, I can weave a story with some images. And I think that what a lot of us, you know, myself included, you know, I have boxes of images, you know, particularly images I've taken over my, you know, lifetime, you know. And it's like, okay, how am I going to tackle all those photos, you know? How am I going to – and the same is true for people who inherit a box of pictures from their, you know, their ancestors or whatever. And so the way to handle all this material is by selecting images that tell a story. So that way it kind of makes sense. And I had people bring in images, you know, and I think that, you know, when people have a date and they're going to, you know, get ready to take some, you know, material to a place, they may be aware of the story, like in their, you know, in their subconscious. They may also be conscious of it. You know, I'm gonna tell a bunch of stories about grandma, about great grandma, about, you know, coming from Tennessee. You know, you had a very particular journey, you know, because of your, you know, coming at it from the genealogy and all the things you had recently, you know, or discovered and had discovered over time. You know, and so I was delighted to, you know, talk to you about, you know, your particular journey and the images. Most people did not bring as much documentation outside of photography as you brought. I mean, some people have actually, in Atlanta, someone brought a trunk of images that dated back to 1840 and went from, It went from Atlanta to Connecticut for two or three generations, and then back south. You know, and they have all these photographs that take the family up north and then back south. You know.
Yeah.
And
yes.
And it's just amazing to see the images in a Silver Dock. There was a young woman who came. You know, she was in her 20s. And there was a great photograph. It was of her grandmother, either her grandmother or her great-grandmother in the 1920s. Beautiful picture. It was like a flapper. And it was in this frame. And I said, you know, well, we want to scan it because, as you know, and maybe I should actually explain to people what the roadshow entails. I'll just say this briefly. We wanted to digitize her image, the photograph, so that we could then make a film out of it, which is what we do with all the roadshow participants. And so she undid the clasp on the back of the frame photograph, and there was another photograph that was hidden behind it. And she had never seen that photograph.
Oh, wow.
And she didn't know it existed. It had writing on it from her great-grandmother. Her mother didn't know about the photograph. So it was really kind of this moment of like, wow. And the irony of it all, or the blessing or whatever, is that she looked just like her great-grandmother. They looked at the same profile.
Oh, my goodness. But what an experience. Almost as if the ancestor touched her right then and there when she opened that other picture, opened the frame, and that other picture was there.
It was, you know, and seeing that surprise, you know, and that joy, and just knowing, you know, I made a film that's my face film that's showing on the Afropop series right now. I went to Brazil looking for, with my Super 8 cameras, looking for another way of being African in the Americas, and shot all this material of Black people in Brazil, and came back and was making a film, you know, editing the film and writing the script. And I realized I had to be in the film, and I realized, well, in some ways, I made this journey that my mother made. She had made a parallel journey in the 70s when she moved with me and my brother to East Africa, to Tanzania, with a lot of, you know, African Americans are going back to the, you know, mother country, you know, quote unquote. And, you know, but she went to Tanzania because of Pan-Africanism. And she went in part because my grandfather dreamed of going to Africa. He was a Garveyite. And, you know, we grew up with red, black, and green in the house. And there was, like, you know, he talked about Africa, but he was never able to go because my grandmother refused to let him go. And so I wanted to tell this story and leave it with my story to Brazil, but I didn't have any footage, any material of my mother's story and my grandfather's story. And then one day as I was editing, it was like I had a waking dream. That's the only way I could describe it. And I said, you know what, if I came back to New York, I was living in San Diego at the time, if I came back to New York and go to Grandpa's house, he passed away, I'll find some Super 8 there. I think I recall some Super 8. Something told me. It's like after I struggled with how do I put this together with not having all the images. I went back. Lo and behold, the third box I opened in his basement of, like, you know, just all these boxes. With hours and hours and hours of Super 8 that he had shot to document our family as they went from being colored to African American. You know, his church, Bethel AM Church in Harlem. And then I found through my stepdad footage that he took when he came to visit us when we were living in Tanzania for 2 years. He was going to school at NYU with graduate studies. And so I was able to tell the story. But if I hadn't gone to Brazil looking for something, I never would have come back and found all this family Super 8 history. I found 6 hours of material.
And how many years of information did you uncover in those Super 8?
He shot from the 60s through the 70s. So there may be a little bit of stuff from the 50s. There was a little bit of stuff in the 50s. But he shot principally in the 60s and 70s. And then, of course, after I got that stuff, he picked up video. Like when video hit in the late 70s, he started using video. And it's not as stable a medium as a Super 8 film, you know, because already VHSs are, you know, in the part of the finest players. And so, but the Super 8 led me to more video that he had shot, because he shot video during the time when my stepfather's from South Africa, and after he and my mother married, we were very involved in the anti-apartheid movement. And so my grandfather actually shot a lot of that. You know, our family was we always had people visiting from South Africa, you know, young people after the Soweto came, they lived with us. You know, there was always, I mean, at the time it was like, you know, it was a little bit chaotic. But my grandfather shot all this in video after the Super 8. And so I got all that material, and I used that for the next film, 12 Disciples of Nelson Mandela.
Well, you know, you're giving some ideas to people, especially those who may have those old films that are just kind of sitting there. Maybe that's something that they can also consider doing, as you have done.
Yes, and I encourage people to do that. You know, you can upload. You know, I think it's so important that we as African Americans increase the you know, our visual history.
Yes.
On film, on, you know, the stuff that we shot, that our churches shot, that our families, extended families, the trip, because the images, you know, I grew up in a family and say, oh, my family must be is just like this, you know, or it's different than, you know, than other black families because of what I was watching on TV, you know, but all of our families are so special and have had to overcome so much, you know, just to get, you know, work twice as hard to get half as far. And they're really heroes. And we have to, like, you know, I think the history books just go from, like, you know, slavery to civil, you know, to Martin Luther King. And they don't talk about the women and the men and the children who's, you know, just making it to 20 years old was a major accomplishment, you know, making it out of the South. The new book, The Warmth of Other Suns.
The Warmth of
Yes, they're not new anymore, but it's like it's the reframing of this migration and what the people did, and how when you leave a place, in some ways you die and you come to a new place, you get reborn. Yeah, unfortunately, you reborn in the concrete jungles of New York or Chicago, Detroit. But, you know, we have, you know, and a lot of that was marked, you know, beginning or and at the end with a photograph.
You're so right, because those images were taken from the old place and it followed them to the new place. So you can actually see that transition of families as they migrated from the South to the North and what have you.
Exactly. And I want young people, you know, to know this and to use this to honor, you know, themselves and ourselves, you know, and to not simply believe, you know, believe the hype, so to speak, and to understand, and not just African Americans, but these are American stories, you know, and also human stories, you know, it's the kind of pride, and also to understand, you know, the stories around the photographs, to understand what someone overcame or what they sacrificed for the next generation, you know, or why they might have made these decisions. It's so much strength, you know. It's why we have, you know, all the traditional, you know, cultures, whether you're talking African or Native American, Indian, have that oral tradition, you know, where you have the griot who can remember the family stories back thousands of years, you know, and you can draw strength from those stories, not to mention the creativity, you know, that one to draw from them. And so, you know, that's what I wanted to do with Digital Diaspora Family Reunion, you know, to use this tool to, you know, of this visual material, whether it's a photograph, the Super 8, the video. You know, you take a picture today, tomorrow it's an archive, you know, it's part of an archive. And, you know, and it's so important for us to understand that.
Right, and it's a very empowering process because those images now, you are able to tell a story and to put those stories in the context of everything that they've done and who and what makes them who they are. So I mm-hmm. think that this conceptually is something that as genealogists, as we gather materials on our families, we can also consider the stories and put those stories in a visual way so that other family members can understand exactly what all that hard work in genealogy means, but also what it has meant to our families to go through various stages of their lives. Well, we're going to take a quick break, and when I come back, I'm going to open up the chat line for a few questions. So we're going to take a quick break, and I'll come back in a minute, okay?
Thank you. I'll be here.
Back to Research at the National Archives and Beyond Blog Talk Radio. This is your host, Bernice Alexander Bennett, and you're listening to Thomas Allen Harris from the speaking about the Digital Diaspora Family Reunion. Now, if you would like to ask a question or make a comment, please call 646-200-0491 and press 1 to speak to the host. And, Thomas, it looks like we have a caller. I'll call out your area code 212. Do you have a question or a comment?
Hello. This is Mary Marshall. Hi, Thomas.
How are you, Mary Marshall, Dr. Marshall?
I'm fine. I just got the email, and what a wonderful job you did. It looks great.
Oh, thank you. Let me just tell people, well, on DDFR, one of the things that we do is people bring in their family photographs in is we work with them to tell a story, and we film it on videotape, and then we go away and we edit it into a short video or film. And we just posted Mary Marshall's, Dr. Marshall's family photographs and her story and her journey on DDFR, the most recent upload. So I'm rather surprised to speak with you now.
Oh, well, that's wonderful, Dr. Marshall. Why don't you share with us your experience with the Digital Diaspora Family Reunion?
It was a wonderful experience. I've been working on my family's photos since about 1985. I grew up with all of these photos, many of them hanging on the walls of our home in Georgia, and starting around 1985, I brought them to New York and took them to the Schomburg in order to find out how to preserve them. They gave me information, and since 1985, I've been working diligently to preserve them in an archival way, museum way, so that I could share them with as many people as possible. I've done several presentations at churches, schools, and other places. It's really time-consuming, but it brings me so much joy. I have been able to research my family on my maternal side back to about 1850, as well as on my father's side to about the same time period.
Well, that is wonderful.
And I've learned so much just about preserving the photographs, Mm-hmm. I have a lot of letters and other kinds of documents. And every time I look at it, I find out something new.
How old is your oldest photograph?
Well, the oldest one, I have 10 types. So I would say the oldest 10 type is somewhere, I'm dating it up somewhere between about 1870.
Mm-hmm.
Around
1870. Oh, wonderful.
And all of the photographs in my collection were taken by an African-American photographer of the 19th century. His name was Robert E. Williams, and his father, Robert Williams, they owned a photographic studio in Augusta, Georgia, in the late 19th century, between about 1865, 1870. They had their own studio on Broad Street, which was the main shopping area. And he is written up in Georgia history as being one of the best photographers, black or white, in the state of Georgia.
Well,
you can find some of his work at the University of Georgia at Athens.
Mm-hmm. Well, that is wonderful. Thomas, can you tell us once again how we can see that film that you've just put up? We need the link.
Yes. The link is if you go to www.ddfr, as in Digital Diaspora Family Reunion.tv, and you'll see and the video is called Dr. Marshall's Photo Mission.
Okay. Okay, Photo Mission.
Yes.
Okay, any dashes or slashes between it?
Pardon me?
Any dashes or slashes, or is www.ddfr.tv?
.tv. Yeah, .tv. And then you'll see, I'm actually going to, I was just trying to, I'm connected, if I could post it on your Blog Talk site. I think I can. Let me see if I can just post it so people who are following us can see it. I'm posting it right now. So I just posted it on the Blog Talk Radio.
Okay.
So if people are listening, if you're online, you could go. You could just click the link. It's from Through a Lens Darkly, ddfr.tv, /2012/02/dr, as in doctor, dash, Marshall, M-A-R-S-H-A-L-L-S, dash, photo, dash, mission, /. But if you just go to DDFR homepage, you'll see under videos, Dr. Marshall's video is the first video there.
Well, wonderful. Well, thank you, Dr. Marshall, for calling in. We have another caller coming in from area code 646. Area code 646. Hello. Welcome to Research at the National Archives.
Hi, this is Sylvia Lewis. Sylvia Isabel Lewis.
How are you,
Sylvia Isabel Lewis? Good to
see
you.
I'm just so thrilled to hear you, Thomas, Alan Harris, and you, Bernice, because, you know, actually, when I participated in the digital diaspora in Harlem, and that was such a wonderful experience for me, and I shared it with my friends on my LinkedIn page, and that's how I met Bernice. So
that's right.
Oh, my
God.
Right. So, Thomas, Alan, I just have to thank you so much for helping me make a new friend, and that experience of participating in the Digital Diaspora Family Reunion Roadshow has really opened so many doors for me that I totally it was totally a wonderful experience, and I was totally, it was unexpected, but just a wonderful journey that I've been on since I've seen you.
Could you talk a little bit more? Is it more about, I think your call, you were doing some investigations around your family, and your family comes both from New Orleans, but also from South America, and then you have Chinese background as well. And so you
Sylvia is going to be a guest on my show.
To share
her family's journey.
Wonderful.
From Shanghai to Harlem.
Exactly. Well, that's what I was going to say is that, you know, the experience of being on your show, Thomas, helped me visualize how to put my maternal family and my paternal family, put the whole story together. I mean, I'm still doing searches on both sides, but I have this narrative, which I've been calling From Shanghai to Harlem, and I have been tracing my family as true from Ocean Springs, Mississippi, and Louisiana. That's my paternal side. And they landed in Harlem during the Great Migration in the early 1900s. And then at the same time, my mother's people had come from China after slavery, and they had come from China and then went into South America and then the Caribbean and then came to Harlem. And that's how my family, my mother's family and my father's family met. They met in Harlem. So I have this very amazing story. But I have to say that the experience of being in the digital diaspora project really helped me so much, because what it did, it put me back on the path to searching for all of the missing links in my family. So, for instance, that story that you told earlier tonight about how you had this dream and then you... you met this young lady that had a photograph that was her great-grandmother, and then she found another photograph, and then and you said that she looked just like the great-grandmother. I had a similar experience just last week when I was trying to find my mother's people, and I found my great-grandmother coming from Venezuela, and then when I went to the National Archives, I had called ahead and gave them the file number, and so when I got to the National Archives, the lady there said to me, you won't believe it, but I have your ancestor's photograph, and you look just like her, and I was like...
That's wonderful, Sylvia.
I was like shocked. Yeah, I said, really? They said,
wonderful.
I know. I can't wait to post it soon, but it was just amazing. And I could see that, well, you could see how we came from the same family, even though she is a different race from me. But, you know, I'm a combination of things that you could see possibly where I got some of the features that I have, you know? So this has just been a wonderful journey. And I just want to compliment you too, Thomas, on your Through the Lens Darkly. I saw the trailer and it's just so fabulous.
Thank you, Sylvia. I wanted to let people know that, you know, our goal is to, we're finishing the film right now, Through a Lens Darkly, that I'm making with Deborah Willis, PhD, Deb Willis, and also Ann Bennett and Don Perry. And we're finishing the film, and our goal is to tour the film across the country. And now this film has, you know, it's basically looking at the United States, our American history, through the eyes of Black photographers from 1840 to the present. So, and it's not only Black photographers, but it's also the ways in which African-American leaders use the camera as a tool for social change. So, you know, from Booker T. Washington, who, you know, was able to speak with President McKinley of the United States and get money appropriated by Congress to take African-American images over to the Paris exhibition of 1900 to show how far African-Americans had come in the 30-some-odd years since, you know, emancipation, to the ways in which African-American photographers during the Civil Rights era and during the Black Empowerment era and Black, you know, used the camera to really show who we were, you know, despite the fact that, you know, our cities were, we had, you know, Martin Luther King had just been killed and Malcolm X just been killed. The cities were on fire. But if you look at the African-American images in the late 60s and 70s, you know, you see the humanity of the people. And one photographer says, and still, you know, we kept get knocked down, but we keep rising. And so, you know, so we have images of African-American women that go back to at least to the 19-teens, you know, from New Orleans, who were photographers. You had businesses that operated for 20-something years. And I think it was in 1920, there were, I think, 100 Black women photographers had businesses in the United States. You know, where are we going to find this information? You know, this history and Frederick Douglass. You know, when photography was created and was created during his lifetime, he said, "Now this we can use this. We can prove to our not so much prove, but we can affirm for ourselves who we are. We don't have to take other people's image of us." Which
now, Thomas, with this project, are you showcasing certain photographers, or have you just gone all around the country and put a compilation of photos together and through the lens darkly?
Well, we're profiling photographers and we're profiling leaders who've used photography. So, for instance, you know, we have Jules Leon, who was one of the first photographers to set up a studio in New Orleans. He was a free man of color who had learned, you know, the daguerreotype process in France, brought it back. Then we have, Frederick Douglass, the real concern, Sojourner Truth, you know, I fell the shadow to support the substance. She had photographs of herself, you know, as a freed woman taken, and she would sell these cartes de visite to support her abolitionist and suffragist movement.
Mm-hmm.
You know, then we have, you know, Du Bois, who took the images for the Paris exhibition. And then, you know, with this Crisis magazine in the beginning of the 20th century, you know, used these images on these magazines. So we have, you know, amazing history. And of course, you know, I come from a family of photographers. So my brother is a well-known photographer, Lyle Ashton Harris, who also photographed the family. I mentioned that my grandfather did a lot of Super 8, but he was, even before that, he was actually taking photographs from the 1920s, and he was a patron of Vandersee, James Vandersee.
Mm-hmm.
So we grew up with Vandersee images. So I'm able to actually, I'm weaving a bunch of different stories to kind of like show this unique journey that we've taken. And, you know, of course, you know, we can't include all the photographers, but, you know, that's part of why we also are very excited with Digital Diaspora, because, you know, we can have people like Mary Marshall's, photographer ancestor, you know, who could be profiled. And so, you know, you can continue that, and it just can continue to grow and create families.
Well, that is absolutely wonderful. Now, when can we expect to see Through a Lens Darkly?
Well, we're going to be finishing it within the next 3 to 4 months, and so it should be, we're not sure what festival we're going to do our premiere, but it's going to happen sometime within this year. We could start touring it before and start building an audience, you know, for the film. So you won't see it on television, at least not this year, but we are going to be releasing modules from the film that are actually not in the film, but they're related to the film on DDFR.TV. So every week there's going to be either a roadshow module, like the one we did with you, Bernice Bennett, which is a lovely module as well, or it's going to be a Through a Lens Darkly short shot, which is featuring a short interview with a photographer about how the intersection of their discovery of the medium of photography, the archives, as well as their family.
Okay. Well, I'm very excited to hear about this project. I've watched the trailer over and over and over again, and I'm going to be just waiting for the full feature to come out to see it and to talk about it and share it with everyone else. Well, I want to go back to the Digital Diaspora Family Reunion Roadshow. What basic information should an individual consider when they put together images for a Digital Diaspora Family Reunion?
Okay, so there are two ways to interact, or at least two ways to interact as a participant with the Digital Diaspora Family Reunion. One is, right now, you can go online to ddfr.tv, and on the upper right-hand side of the screen, there's a link that says Create a Story. And you could click on Create a Story, and it takes you to our social media side of Digital Diaspora. And you could create a profile and upload a couple of photographs and tell a story. And that way, you know, people can find you. You could, you know, you could make sure you tag the photograph that was taken in, you know, Tennessee or New York or wherever, what year it was. And you become part of a kind of rotating slide, a slideshow that features our large family. And then out of that, you know, we contact people when we are coming to your town, and we, you know, to make sure that we reach out to you first, you know, to become part of the Digital Diaspora Family Reunion Roadshow.
Mm-hmm.
You can also, on our homepage, ddfr.tv, on the right-hand side, you can sign up to receive our e-blast. And so when we have new videos, we'll let you know. You'll be the first to know. You could also join us on Facebook, Digital Diaspora Family Reunion on Facebook, and we're also on Twitter. And then you can, you know, write to us, ddfrtv@gmail.com, and let us know you have, you know, a particular story that you'd like to share, and if, you know, and send an image if you like. So, you know, if you see one of the videos that we uploaded and you have an interesting story, you know, one of the great things that just amazing, in addition to many other amazing things about meeting you, Bernice, is that you were one of the first people that really affirmed, you know, the spiritual dimension of this work, you know, and you've been consistent with that, and you talked about that, and I remember you talking about discovering that your great-great-great, I guess, grandfather, you know, in a newspaper article, and, you know, knowing where to go and really having and being so full of joy with it, you know. And then, you know, when we were on NPR together, I can't remember the name of the show. I think it was the show we were on together. It was
the
NPR
takeaway.
Show.
The takeaway.
Yeah, like, you know, people don't like to talk about, like, you know, the ancestor and that dimension of this work. And you were very present in that. I was very happy that, you know, that you were part of that discussion on NPR last year, this time, actually. And,
yes, you know, it's something, though, that the genealogists do feel. I mean, that there is this spiritual connection. And that the ancestors are guiding us as we go through this journey to find them. So there is this connection that I think it does occur.
Uh-huh. Yeah, I totally, exactly. I think you really feel it and see it in the all the different stories that even the ones that we've heard tonight, you know, it's amazing that, you know, it comes up again. And, many times, you know, when I make a film, for instance, I'm not sure where the journey is going to take me, but, you know, I have to have faith that it's going to take me where I should be, you know, I am where I should be. And I see that parallel and the work that, you know, you genealogists do. You know, that there's kind of like, you know,
Yes, I can imagine that there's something that's guiding your footsteps also, as you said, and you have to kind of follow where it's taking you. Well, I just want to just throw out again, if you would like to ask a question or make a comment, please call 646-200-0491 and press 1 to speak to the host. Well, why don't you just tell us now, where are you planning on taking the, or at least having the next roadshow event?
Well, we recently received a Rockefeller Foundation New York City Cultural Innovation Fund award to tour all 5 boroughs of New York City with the DDFR roadshow. So we're going to be doing that this spring, and something I actually want to talk with Sylvia Isabel about and Dr. Mary Marshall about, and enlist their participation as both veterans and members of the DDFR family. So we're going to be doing it in all 5 boroughs, in the Bronx, Brooklyn, Staten Island, Manhattan, and Queens. And so really creating a model that we could use for other citywide DDFR shows. You know, we're also in the discussion stages around a DDFR larger TV show. And so that's Say a Prayer for Us with regards to that. That's in, you know, we're working on that. But right now we're just, you know, we were, over the last few years we've shot so much, so we're just getting caught up and finishing up all editing all the short films, and so that we could put them online and continue to build the audience. And then when Through a Lens comes out, you know, when we're done with that, we're going to be rolling out with that. I did want to just mention to people, if they wanted to see the way in which, other ways I've used my family archive, you could see my film, That's My Faith, Amy Akata, in the About section of us on www.ddfr.tv. You could click on a link, and you could also, both films are on Amazon.com, and they're on my other website, chimpanzeeproductions.com. And people always say, why chimpanzee?
why don't you tell us why chimpanzee?
in the 80s, I was traveling in South America a lot, and I ended up in Peru, and there are these lines in Peru that are etched in the ground. They're called the Nazca line. You could Google them. And one of them, there's a spider, there's a monkey, there's a bird. And so someone gifted me this little, one of the replicas. You can only see these lines from way up high because they're deep in the earth, but they're so big over such a long period of time, over such a wide period, that you have to see them when you're flying above or like in a helicopter or something like that. And so someone gave me a replica of one of them, which is a monkey. And the Europeans and the Americans always say, well, it must have been extraterrestrials who came and created these lines, you know, because no humans can do it. You can't see it. And I thought, so we don't know what the, what kind of technology these, indigenous people have. You know, if something were to happen, this civilization, the next civilization wouldn't know what we have. They would have detritus. They'd have maybe some of the photographs, and they'd have to put things together. And I thought, that these ancient civilizations, whether it's the Egyptian civilization or Inca or whatever, had this technology. So I thought about, that's where chimpanzee was born. But it's about ancient technologies meeting the future. And I also grew up. I had a little monkey when I was living in Tennessee. We didn't have them too long because, it was wild.
Wow. So you really have given us a lot to think about. Certainly those individuals who have images and they want to upload, as you said, upload the images Are you suggesting that they create some type of film before they upload the images and tell a story?
Well, what they can do is, on YouTube, you could just upload like a short piece of video, if you transferred some of your video, you can upload your video, and then you can email us where the video is. If you create a video that has a bunch of the photographs of your family, tell a story. You send that to us at dvfrtv@gmail.com, and we'll feature it on our site. So we'll get a lot of traffic to the video, and soon we're going to start actually doing competitions. I don't want to make it country. It's award for the best video. The best video about a summer vacation, the best photograph or the most funny photograph, we're going to start doing things like that so that we could really start curating some of this material, and tell a story, and then maybe create a video of the funniest photographs, the funniest photographs on Martha's Vineyard, Southern equivalent, or my trip to Texas video, or series of photographs. And so, there's certain things. I mean, the idea is that we want to just celebrate our humanity. And also taking the act of taking pictures is a powerful act.
That's right, because after all, you are taking those pictures to create a memory, so that one day you can share that memory with someone else, and there's a story behind that. So it just sounds like a wonderful opportunity for individuals to share that what they have with everyone. And
yes,
to celebrate life, to celebrate, to make themselves feel good, but also to say that we had some experiences that are positive and
yes,
made a difference in our lives.
Yes, yes. And it's the creative, power, the power of creativity is really, it's sacred, And I think that, it's so important that we acknowledge that, in this society, which, every time you go to a movie, all you see is like someone pulling out a gun and killing someone, that's not where we come from, it's illusory, it's fantasy, so there needs to be a balance to it, because so much of where we come from is about love, it's about creating legacies, it's about building.
That's right. That is so right. Well, Thomas, we're coming close to the end, and I want to thank you so much for joining me tonight and providing the listeners with just valuable information concerning how they can preserve images, memories, and whatever makes them who they are through the Digital Diaspora Family Reunion. I want to welcome everyone to tune in next week, because my guest is Nathaniel Branch Miles, and Nathaniel will be discussing kinships and family ties. What rewards do we obtain by having just kinships and family ties, and what does that mean to us? And that's one of the things that Nathaniel will be discussing next week. Any parting words before we close out tonight?
I just want to say thank you for this wonderful work that you're doing. And isn't this new technology a blessing? We can control the distribution, and the revolution is being broadcast.
Absolutely, and let's take advantage of it.
Yeah.
Well, good night, and thank you so much, Thomas. And remember, everybody, your ancestors left footprints. Therefore, you should follow the clues that are presented to you through oral history, family records, photos, research at National Archives and Beyond. Thank you for joining Research at the National Archives and Beyond. This is your host, Bernice Alexander Bennett. Good night, and I look forward to you joining me next Thursday. Good night. Good night, Thomas.
Good night,
everyone.
Bernice. Thank you again. Bye-bye.
Okay, bye-bye.